Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who kept all of God's laws perfectly for you and for me, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 18, from verse 39 to chapter 19, verse 7. This is Pontius Pilate speaking, and he says, "But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Throughout the course of history, mankind has come up with some pretty strange laws. Now, we might think of our modern society as being a bit more enlightened, and surely we don't have any strange or archaic laws in our books, do we? Those have all been eliminated. Our laws are all sensible, all very modern and very, very enlightened. Did you know that there's still some very strange laws in the books of our country, even of our state and some of the cities in our state? If you do an internet search on strange California laws, you'll find that there are a pretty good list of laws that will make you shake your head or maybe even laugh out loud. For example, did you know that in California, women may not drive in a house coat? Apparently a law. It is also a misdemeanor to shoot at any kind of game from a moving vehicle unless that target is a whale. The ones from the various cities in California are the best ones. In Eureka, California, men who wear mustaches are forbidden from kissing women. It's probably good advice. It may not need to be a law, but... In Chico, California, bowling on the sidewalk is illegal. Also in Chico, California, detonating a nuclear device within the city limits results in a $500 fine. If you're detonating a nuclear device in the city limits of Chico, California, the $500 fine is probably the least of your worries. And finally, we have to include a couple of strange laws from San Francisco. Did you know that in San Francisco, it is prohibited for elephants to be strolling down Market Street unless they are on a leash? And then this one is my favorite. Persons classified as ugly may not walk down any street in San Francisco. How do you enforce that one? And what about these poor ugly people who can't leave their house? What do? Well, these laws may seem strange. You got to wonder where some of these came from. How'd they get in the books? How come they haven't been removed from the books? But what about the law that was spoken of in our text? This is part of the powerful words from Jesus' powerful passion that we're considering today. Words which were spoken against Jesus by the Jewish religious leaders. What kind of law are they talking about when they say, according to our law, Jesus ought to die? What kind of crazy law would say that? How could any law have condemned the innocent Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus Christ? Where did that strange law come from? Actually, it came from God's law. came from the Old Testament. Leviticus 24:16 clearly states, "And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death." The Jewish religious leaders were no longer trying to disguise their reason for wanting Jesus crucified. They don't keep on trying to say that it was because he had caused an uproar among the Jewish nation, or because he claimed to be a king opposed to Caesar. No, here they show their true colors. They show why they wanted Jesus crucified, and their charge was blasphemy. They shouted to Pilate, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Blasphemy is the sin of either speaking against God or speaking evil about God, or claiming to be God. Jesus had claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Son of God, therefore making himself equal with God. The problem was the Jewish religious leaders did not believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Despite the overwhelming evidence that many of them had seen many times, all the miracles, his sinless life, they refused to believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah. In their hatred for Jesus, they call out for the death penalty that was required by the Old Testament law of Moses for the sin of blasphemy. Does anyone else see something incredibly wrong with the situation that's described in our text? These Jewish religious leaders are crying out for the crucifixion of an innocent man, the innocent Son of God. But just a few verses earlier, they permitted this man, Barabbas, who was a well-known criminal, to walk free. Now, our text here from John mentions that he is a robber. But if you look at the account from Luke, Luke gives some more detail about this man, Barabbas, and just how notorious he was. Luke 23, verse 19 says that Barabbas had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. This is the man they let walk free instead of Jesus. Now, I know the court system in our country is far from perfect. We've had many examples of injustices over the years, but this situation in this courtroom is just plain ridiculous. A rebellious murderer, Barabbas, is set free. While an innocent man, no matter what you think of him, this man's not going to hurt anyone. Jesus is condemned. Condemned to death. What kind of upside-down legal system do we see in operation here? Well, would you believe it is God's? God is the one who wrote that law that commanded the death penalty against blasphemy for his Old Testament people, the children of Israel. By giving that harsh law, God showed his seriousness in regards to his name, but also his seriousness in keeping his people faithful to him so that he could preserve their line, the line of the Jewish people, for the coming Savior, Jesus. God's not just the one who wrote that law, he's also the one who found Jesus guilty of blasphemy and every other sin. Now, it's true, Jesus never actually committed any of those sins, but in God's eyes, he had. Remember those familiar words from Isaiah, words you hear probably repeated several times during the season of Lent. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. "But he," Jesus, "was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He for us. His innocence for our sin. His punishment for our peace, his death for our life. We often refer to this as the great exchange, but it was also the greatest injustice of all time from a human standpoint, from a legal standpoint. But God's justice was met. The world's sins were paid for. The punishment was served, and God's wrath against sin was completely appeased. God looked at Jesus and said, according to my law, he ought to die. And he counted that death, the death on the cross, as being valid and paying for the sins of all mankind. But now, what about this troubling case of Barabbas? What about this hardened, murderous criminal being set free? Doesn't that seem like a bit much? How could that possibly be a part of God's justice? A little bit, that's a difficulty, right? But the difficulty becomes a little clearer when we remember or understand a few things about God's unlimited grace. The picture becomes a bit more clear when we see ourselves in Barabbas. We are rebellious against God's law. We have even been murderous against God's law, if not in action, certainly in our thoughts. The Bible says very clearly, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. In God's eyes, hatred against someone is the same as murder. And so we have to admit the evidence of guilt against us, that list is unending. The offenses we've committed against God's law are obvious. They are there every day. And yet, like Barabbas, we are set free. Christ is condemned to the cross. God did not wait for us to be good enough to deserve his mercy. He didn't wait until we changed our ways and made restitution for our sins, the sins against his law. It was impossible for us to do that. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't make restitution. And so that's why God sent Jesus. That's why he reminds us in these incredible words from the book of Romans. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No one in their right mind would allow someone like Barabbas to go free. And absolutely no one in their right mind would die for someone as undeserving, a lowlife like Barabbas. But Jesus did. Jesus died for Barabbas and set him free. He died for us and set us free when we were completely undeserving. However, and this is also important, however, he did not die for us and set us free from our sins to go on living like Barabbas. He came and shed his blood for us so that we could be set free from the sins that imprisoned us, the sins that controlled us, so that we would go on living like him. The Apostle Paul reminds us that Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So God looks at us now and he does not see Barabbas. He doesn't see rebellious sinners. He actually sees the very righteousness of his son Jesus. His blood now covers us like a spotless robe. If you're wearing a spotless robe, it doesn't matter what the clothes on underneath look like, whether they're tarnished or dirty or stained. You can't see them. You are covered in a spotless robe, and that's what God sees. He sees Jesus' righteousness, and he looks at us and says, according to my law, you ought not die. What could we possibly give in thankfulness for that? Well, the hymn writer Isaac Watts put it pretty well in the last verse of our last hymn. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So what are we going to do with that freedom? The freedom Jesus has given us, releasing us from our sins, freeing us from their slavery and their chains. Let's pray to God that he would give us the desire and the ability to give our hearts, our souls, and our lives to Jesus in thankfulness. In may he lead us to share that freedom with others. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.